Okay, so welcome everybody. Take a picture. So today's sermon, or today's talk, is about God's presence in worship, and it is about Psalm 84. And Psalm 84 basically starts with, you know, better is one day. So we sang that song today, and I don't know about you, but as I was reading the passage and stuff, I couldn't help but start singing Better Is One Day, because I think, for me at least, when I think about that song, I think about, you know, like worship camps and stuff, where we would all be together and we'd be singing, like, you know, better is one day than a thousand, I've forgotten the words of the word, so, better is one day than a thousand elsewhere, you know, how amazing it is to be, you know, in that sort of place. It's sort of safe and able to sort of worship and be able to say, you know, better is one day and stuff. So we would be hanging out with like friends, you know, hanging out with God, and it would be safe. You'd be like ready to worship. Sometimes, you know, if you're really into the worship, you could sing like Better Is One Day instead of like the chorus and stuff like that. You know, like, you wouldn't be dancing in the hall, in the aisles and stuff, because, you know, we're Chinese and Scottish. But at the same time, you know, you would try and get into it and stuff, and you would sort of sing those words and stuff. So let us read Psalm 84. So can you all turn your Bibles, apps, and other things to Psalm 84? I will read Psalm 84. This is what Psalm 84 says. So, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, that they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper for the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed are those who trust in you. Let's pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you can just bring us all here today, Lord. Lord, thank you that that we can come to your dwelling place, Lord, that we can come to you and worship you, and that as we worship you, Lord, that you are there with us. I pray that as we listen to your word today, Lord, that we can just be empowered, and that we can have that just desire, Lord, to know you better, to worship you, and to be with you in this presence. In Jesus' name, pray. Okay. So the first thing that came up, I suppose, was slide. So how lovely is your dwelling place? Oh no, this is what I don't know. Next slide. The tabernacle. So the first part is it says, how lovely is your dwelling place? So I thought, what is the dwelling place? The dwelling place was the tabernacle of the Lord. So in the Psalms, they would be the people who were singing Psalms. They were talking about the tabernacle or the dwelling place. That was where God would be in Old Testament times. This is the tent where the Ark of the Covenant would stay, and which would only be accessible by the high priests, and then only ever once a year. I'm sure lots of people have heard the story, but I always remember that the people who were the high priests, they would go into the tabernacle and stuff, and then they would always have a bit of rope tied to their leg just in case they went in and God sort of smite them down for whatever reason, and then they would have to pull them out and stuff like that. But I don't think that this is what the passage is saying here. The psalm was not about the high priests. The psalm was about the sons of Korah. So the part of the Bible verse starts with the director of music, according to Gittith, of the sons of Korah. So the psalm was written by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were not priests. They were actually doorkeepers for the tabernacle. So they were the people who basically stood at the door and guarded the door and stuff. They weren't tasked with being close to the Holy of Holies or inside like the priests were, or they weren't assigned to, you know, transport the holy items and stuff. They were basically assigned just to guard the door. But so does that sound like a great thing? You know, you don't get to go into the presence of God. You don't get to be like an important job of holding the important things. But all you're getting to do is basically stand at the door, and then you get close enough, but you don't quite get close all the way in and stuff. So, you know, I mean, getting to the door, how would that feel? Like, is that like getting to just almost to the place, but not being able to get all the way in? Is it like, you know, we had steak yesterday? Would it be like going to a steak place, getting to the door of the steakhouse, and then actually not going to eat steak? Or would it be like, seeing an amazing car and like the door opening of the car and then looking at the car and then going, actually, no, I'm not allowed to drive it. Or, Colin's guitar is on the ground, but would it be like seeing a really nice guitar, being able to hold the guitar, but not being able to play it? I mean, is that kind of what would the sons of Korah would feel, that they would get there, but they would not be able to get close enough? But I don't think that is the case. I think that, you know, as they've said, better to stand at the doorway than to not be there at all. They sing, how lovely is your dwelling place. Even if we can't get in, how great it is that God comes down to us, that we can have somewhere where we can point our adoration, a place where we can literally be with God, where God is with us, and where we can worship being in his presence. They wouldn't necessarily be right in his presence, but they will be able to get close enough and as close as possible, and know that what they were doing was important. So it goes on and describes what it must have been like to be with God. So it says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living. You know, if God was there, would you not yearn to be close to God? Would you not yearn to want to be as close as possible and always just go back to kind of have that feeling? You know, when we sing Better Is One Day, is it not that same sort of thing where you're singing that song and you go back to thinking, I remember when, we were at camps, we were getting that sort of high, and Better Is One Day, we're singing the song and stuff. Has there been anything where you yearn to be and as close and as good as that? So I will give you an example. It's not a great example for me, but it is an example. So as many of you know, I used to do a lot of martial arts and stuff. Used to go to Taekwondo and stuff. And I think I didn't get too bad at it and stuff. But after a while, injuries had sort of taken hold. I got too busy, couldn't do it anymore. But, you know, I'd still yearn, still really want to kind of go and do Taekwondo and stuff. So back and then, nobody had a camera, so there's like, and nobody had Facebook and stuff. Actually, it wasn't that long ago, but like, most people didn't. I wasn't the person to be taking lots of pictures and stuff, so it's almost like there's no proof that I ever did Taekwondo and that I could kick someone in the head or anything like that. But, now that there is, it's really easy for me to basically spend a lot of my time looking up Taekwondo videos or looking up people basically doing Taekwondo and stuff. So instead of doing it, I would basically spend a lot of time watching other people do it and stuff. So so I would spend a lot of time maybe whiling the way on YouTube or Facebook and watching and then thinking, how amazing would it be if I could go back and do Taekwondo and stuff? So I did. So Noah's going to a Taekwondo class, so I went to a kickboxing class right after Noah's Taekwondo class. So the first day back at the kickboxing class, it was going really well. You know, I finally, I got to do lots of kickboxing things, lots of other little kids and stuff, younger people who are basically there. And I was giving it, 110%. I remembered how I could do it. You know, basically, I used to do it for, a good 10 years. All the things I knew how to do. So I was, just going for it, having a great time and stuff. The warm-up went for most of the way. I probably went a bit harder than I probably should have because, again, you know, you're loving it. You're doing basically what you want to do. There was no way I was going to stop and stuff. So I got past the warm-up. Probably wasn't feeling too great after that point. Maybe I was a little bit more unfit than I actually thought I was going to be. And you may have guessed what would happen next. So my soul yearned. I gave it everything, and I literally fainted on the day. So I went so hard that I literally fainted. And I think I remember, actually, because I was standing there. There was a guy who was just about to kick me with a pad. And the next thing I knew, I was basically sitting in a chair next to the place and stuff. But I think that basically goes to show that my mind was basically writing checks that my body could no longer cash. And maybe I was just getting a bit too old and stuff. But, you know, in that situation, I don't think I would have given it or done anything else, basically. Was I really thinking about my own safety? I think I was just enjoying my time so much that that is what I wanted to do. And I wouldn't have given anything else to not do that, basically. So it might have been a bit embarrassing, but, you know, I was doing what I loved. And I don't think I would have given anything else to be there for that reason. I suppose that's what yearning feels like sometimes. How great it must be that you can know that God is so close or that you can worship him and you know that his presence was right there. If I move somewhere else. In terms of other things, you know, I'd yearn to do that. Or maybe other people yearn to do other things. Maybe my son, like Noah, he yearns to play computer games all the time. But maybe we should be pointing more at the things that we should be yearning for, like God. He is basically asking us to be there at all times. And when we yearn for him, we can be close to him and stuff. Again, we may not be able to get to the Holy of Holies, but we could also get as close as possible. Maybe that for us, again, that it would be better to stand in the doorway as close as you can and be in his presence. If we were in his presence, would we give that 110% or 1,000,000% to give it to sing that better is one day bit or to dance or to sing the alt version? You know, better is one day. But in some ways, is that how we always feel? You know, when we come to church, do we always look forward to being in his presence? And when we get there, do we always enjoy and worship with as much commitment, basically, as the psalm suggests? I thought, so do we want to come to church now? Do we feel God's presence as much now as when we had that first feeling? And should we always be yearning for God in that way? Maybe sometimes we come to God, but we don't worship as much as we do because we sometimes don't feel worthy. I'm in the workplace. To be there, or maybe there's something holding us back from looking forward to spending time with God and to worship Him. As Peter said last week, maybe sometimes it's because our priorities are maybe not as in the right place as we should be. And, you know, do we have that balance between God, family, and job? And is our priority and first thought always to God, that our yearning always points to God first? Next slide. So as we move on, the passage says, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. So as I said, sometimes we might not feel worthy to kind of come to worship God, but I think God, you know, is always there welcoming us and stuff. God says, so it says here, the sparrow and swallow. The sparrow in old times was basically the most worthless of birds. And like, you know, there was no reason basically to own a sparrow. But even someone, something that was worthless has found a home, something that we can basically come to God and stuff. The swallow, on the other hand, was apparently the most fidgety of birds. So they would always basically be looking for somewhere else to stay. But again, as a swallow, we have found a home in God. So no matter how you feel, God has always got a place for you. God knows you and wants you to be there. And even if you're torn a thousand ways, like Martha was last week, God says that you can find rest and have a and have a home to worship him. You know, you are not worthless in God's eyes. Maybe you sometimes feel that the loneliness that Jeremy described a few weeks ago, that you are out of place, but God calls you to him and gives you a home to go to. You know, church should be that place. We feel safe when we are at church. It's what lets us basically, you know, sing our hearts out when we feel God's presence. But do we always feel that same outside? Do we feel that we can worship him as wholeheartedly as when we are safe? Do we feel more self-conscious now sometimes, more nervous about these things? You know, when you feel safe, when you're in church and stuff, when you know that God is basically watching out for you, it must be so freeing that you can basically sing "The Better Is One Day" bit over and over again. So how does it feel to be close to God? What language does it have in the passage? So go on. So we've talked about this bit already. So it says in the passage, you know, in verse 2, "My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And it says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." Verse 10. "Better is one day than in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." So there again, there's that passage about the doorkeeper and about the sons of Korah, that they would rather be a doorkeeper as the sons of Korah were. So they were doorkeepers and stuff. And they say, you know, that they would rather be a doorkeeper than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, maybe that they had, that even before they were doorkeepers, they were basically, they had done something wrong, or they didn't feel that they were worthy basically to be there. But they, even with that, they knew that they would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell do other things. Spending time one day in God's presence was better than maybe other things that they had experienced where they were in the house of the wicked. Again, do we feel like that now? Are we coming to God and having that experience as well? Having that experience of camp, singing such songs with people, and having that feeling that better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. We're talking about coming to church and coming to church and coming to God's presence. It's no longer the case that God is just in the tabernacle and God is somewhere that we have to go to. We can come to God at all times because Jesus died for our sins. God's dwelling place is no longer in that tabernacle. God's dwelling place is everywhere. Next verse. So in John 1:14 it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." We no longer need to be thinking about just being in that doorway to be close to God's presence. God dwells in us, and that means we can worship him anywhere we want. It's no longer about being safe just at church, but we should have that feeling of fulfillment, that yearning should be answered everywhere. Peter, remember, mentioned that God is everywhere at your home, at your work, as well as being at church. We are able to worship God everywhere we go. God's presence is everywhere when we want to worship, and we should worship everywhere we are because God's presence no longer is just in one place. So what of God's presence? So Matthew says that, "For where two or three people gather in my name, there I am with them." So God's presence is with us wherever we are, whenever we have fellowship, or whenever we're sort of meeting together. Worshipping God is not just about singing God's praises in church anymore as well. It's, I think, about speaking about God at all times. It's about having him at the forefront of our lives and always having him as a priority in our lives as well. It says, whenever we meet and we gather in my name, sometimes in my name, you know, do we always gather in his name, or do we just gather? I think we feel safe in church, you know, but do we also feel safe? Feel too safe? Sometimes we're not just putting ourselves out there, I think. I remember Bill was saying that, you know, sometimes when we come to meet at church and stuff, do we sometimes just say, you know, how are you doing, how are you feeling and stuff like that? But instead of just, you know, instead of actually putting yourself out there, always say is, oh yeah, actually I'm not too bad. But that is not basically getting to the heart of basically what we're thinking sometimes. And if we are safe in that place, we should be able to share basically what we feel God is basically doing in our lives and what we should be able to share with the people around us in our church. So we have fellowship together, right? So sometimes we say that we will just hang out, but can it really be fellowship if we don't put God into the conversations we have too? Is that back to being the priorities about putting God first? So sometimes we will just, you know, we'll come after church and stuff and we'll hang out. But and sometimes we say hanging out is like fellowship, but are we really having fellowship when we're not putting God first in those times as well? So I had a thought, and when I put that post up, Alex had lots of question marks about this. But I thought, well, it says in the passage, where two or three people gather in my name, there I am with them and stuff. So we talk about, like, you know, speaking about God and stuff like that together as believers, but I'm sure God is always there as well when we're maybe at work or when we're speaking to other people. You know, when we are talking and we are gathering together, maybe just even by the water cooler or by other places, we can be gathering around and talking and just sharing basically how our lives are going. You know, even with, like, people who we work with who aren't believers and stuff, we can be gathering in his name, or at least I could be gathering in his name, and then they could be, like, sharing in that time. I think sometimes when we have that yearning, we should be able to have that yearning all the time. And we should be using that as best as we can to always basically put God at the forefront of our lives and stuff. I mean, if God is with us in those moments when we are basically speaking about him to our non-believing friends or to our work colleagues, to putting it into just casual conversations sometimes, then if God is with us, you know, who can be against us? Nope. Oh, I'm missing a slide. Okay, so in verse 6, it says, "Should we yearn for God in all places and allow his presence to be with us?" In verse 6, it says, "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place for springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools." As they were talking, the valley of Baca is basically a place of suffering. It's like the desert. And sometimes, you know, we can maybe feel in the desert as well. Sometimes it may be difficult for us to sort of gather strength, but it says that God is with us at all times. It can be sometimes scary, kind of putting ourselves out there, but God is basically with us. I have to say that, you know, going back to my experience, like, I thought it was quite scary. Like, you know, when I woke up basically on the floor of that hall after fainting. But it didn't stop me going back. I went back again because I just, you know, I love going to Taekwondo and stuff. I love punching people in the head. It's really fun. But in terms of God, he will always provide, even through the valley of Baca. He will give us strength, and he will give us basically the comfort that we know that he's there. How amazing must it feel that if God is basically there with us at all times, that we can do anything that we want to. I always thought that when I first started going to Taekwondo, that, you know, eventually I would get to the place where I could basically do anything that I wanted to. Like, you know, I could just think about doing something and I'd be able to do it. Basically, I'd feel like I was being in the Matrix, you know, that if I wanted to, like, you know, fight everybody, I could do and stuff. Maybe that didn't quite happen. But I think, you know, if God is with us, then, you know, we should be able to do that. We should be able to do anything that we want in his name, that we can basically, you know, have that power and that empowerment to basically go out and speak to people at all times. So God's presence is around us at all times. We no longer need to just stand at the doorway looking in, but we can know that he will always be there. That really should give us a joy in our heart, that yearning to give us the feeling of safety. So to summarize, TLDR again, too long did not read. So better is one day than a thousand elsewhere. I mean, we haven't sung that song in a while, but I think whenever I sing that song, it is a case that, you know, I would rather be with God than be a thousand days elsewhere. That remember that we have that yearning. Worship is not just about being in church, and fellowship is not just about hanging out. We need to be spending time with God at all times, and we need to be speaking about him at all times. God provides all you need. You don't need to go anywhere else. He will provide the strength for you to do bold things. So let's do bold things. And be that person who yearns to be in his presence at all times, like the writer of the Psalms. Let us pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you can be with us at all times, Lord. I pray that you can just, that we have that comfort and that empowerment, Lord, that you are always there and you are always watching over us, Lord. I pray that we have the feeling that we know that better is one day, Lord, that we are in your presence, Lord, than a thousand elsewhere, Lord. That it's better, Lord, to be with you than to be anywhere else. Lord, I pray that as we continue to worship you, that through this week, Lord, that we feel that we should be able to just speak of your name, Lord, to everybody that we meet, Lord. That we have that desire to do so, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name.